The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on WTBR-FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us Jason Kyler. He is the Assistant Deputy Superintendent of Community Engagement within the Sheriff's Office in Berkshire County. So thank you, Jason, for being with us today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me, Roberta.
And Jason, that is a very long title.
Yes, that's what I tell everyone. You know, when people try to introduce me, I'm like, it's a long title. I just have to give you a heads up.
But I must say, though, that prior to that title, like, there's another organization that people might recognize. I mean, you've been with the Sheriff's Office for about 22 years, so you've been with them for a long time. But the other organization that people might recognize you, Second Street Second Chances.
Yes. So actually, I've been here for 24 years.
24 years. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
24.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
So I've been with the sheriff's office for 24 years. Just kind of came up through the ranks, case management, did some work in reentry and aftercare services, and then went to case management coordinator, and then went to the agency that you're referring to, which is Second Street Second Chances.
Wow.
Fortunate for me, I never broke state services. I was still a state employee working for Second Street Second Chances.
Wow. Well, one, I mean, there's so much with that work and so much that you're doing, and we're going to get into all of that in a moment. But I want to take it back a little bit, Jason, because you are, would it be accurate to say you're Berkshire County native? I feel like native is such an interesting word because it depends on what that means to the person. But
sure.
You grew up here.
Yes, absolutely. Born and raised here in Berkshire County. More specifically, Pittsfield on the west side. You know, and my family originally came from Tuskegee, Alabama, and settled here quite some time ago.
When did they settle here, Jason?
You know, if I had to guess, I would say in the 70s.
The 70s.
Yes.
Wow. So your family has deep Southern roots.
Absolutely. Which I'm not sure, you know, if you guys all know, Tuskegee, Alabama is, you know, a very strong community in the southern states.
Well, I actually had the opportunity, I want to say, goodness, was it last year? We went on our civil rights with the Rights of Passage and Empowerment Program, as well as with members from the Berkshire County NAACP. We went on our civil rights bus tour, and one of our stops was Alabama.
Oh, wonderful.
So we went to Alabama. We went to Montgomery, went to Selma. Alabama is quite the place. I'm intrigued. Have you ever heard stories from your family about growing up in Alabama?
Yeah, they talk about it. You know, they talk about, you know, the community that they grew up in. It's a very small town. I actually had the privilege when I was young. So a majority of my family worked for General Electric here in Pittsfield, and they would shut down in August. So what we would do is we would pack and get packed inside of the car, and, you know, we would make that long trip from Massachusetts to Alabama, and we had this pleasure of spending a couple of weeks with family members in Tuskegee. So very eye-opening, you know, and very hot.
And I know we're going to talk about Berkshire County in a minute, but when you say eye-opening, obviously you were a little kid, right, when you were taking those trips. So what did eye-opening mean to you at that time?
Well, you know, people that are familiar with Tuskegee know that it's a very, very small town. You know, and I actually, you know, Tuskegee Institute is there. So there's a lot of history there. And, you know, it's just a lot of farmland that kind of takes you back in time a little bit. You know, one of the things that stick out in my mind the most is I used to have an uncle who would pull up on a horse and buggy, you know, when he came over to visit us.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It was quite the experience. Yes, and as you know, back in the 80s, Pittsfield was kind of, it was a bustling town. General
Yeah.
Dynamics was at their height, so we didn't see a lot of horse and buggies up here.
Wow, that's a, first of all, that's its own interview right there. The horse
Right.
and buggy gets its own interview.
Yeah, now I'm not saying everyone else didn't have
No,
cars or anything, but
I
it was just
believe
this.
you. It's a nod to the way people lived, right? Slower pace. You know, the South also has that reputation too, that it's that work gets done, but it's literally at a slower pace, much more chill. Obviously, for your uncle, it was, you know, horse and buggy chill, you know, on that level. But wow. So yeah, I can tell you that when we visited last year, I mean, definitely, I guess first and foremost, full of history. You are immersed in history. It's all around you. And so I think there is a, I think what I got from it when I visited, a sanctity, right? A sacredness, in those spaces because of all that had happened, and knowing what how that contributed to the America that we know today. So I don't know. For me, I got that, but I'm an adult, right? So obviously that was my take on it. And when you're a child, your view is very, very, very different, and you see things through a different lens. Wow. Well, so now from Tuskegee to the Berkshires, growing up, did you ever hear stories of how a one making that shift from the South to the North and what that meant for your family in terms of opportunity?
Honestly, they didn't talk about it too much.
Okay.
They didn't bring up a lot of their experiences in the South. I think they focused more on the present, and they focused on making sure that we had, a good future ahead of us.
Okay.
So I know that, talking now, I know that there was definitely some hardships experienced down there, and I think that, my family chose as a whole to move forward and pave the way for us to come up and have some success in our lives.
So what did that mean for you? You grew up on the West Side, and so, you know, definitely the West Side is one of a city of Pittsfield's, you know, in terms of just culturally rich neighborhoods. There are so many different folks who are represented on the West Side. What did that mean for you growing up in that space as a kid?
Oh, it was a great experience for me. West Side I refer to as one of the most diverse areas in Berkshire County. And I think a lot of people don't know that. But it was definitely the gateway place where people that moved here to the Berkshires stepped first. So you had a large Italian community, Polish community, African American community. You just had a lot of representation over on the West Side. And coming up, I found that people were neighbors. Everybody took care of each other, and it was a very respectful place,
Right.
and just a great upbringing over there. And I always tell people, sometimes I don't live there any longer, but when I go over, my grandmother still lives there. So when I go over and I sit on her front steps, it just feels like home. It's just a warm feeling, knowing that people are driving by and waving, and they could be people that lived in that community for a long time.
Well, one, how awesome is it that your grandmother is still alive and still with us? So that's a huge, huge blessing. And yeah, definitely going back to being a kid, right? And being in that present, that environment, and taking in all that you have seen. You know, there's so much revitalization happening on the West Side right now. You know, I'm curious as to what are your thoughts on, again, growing up there and then seeing how it's gone through many different iterations, but also seeing the I want to say the groundswell of community involvement, community participation that's happening to really, really reclaim the West Side, as people who grew up there said it once was, trying to bring that back. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's great. You have certain groups, West Side Legends, and a lot of people that actually grew up in the heart of the West Side. And unfortunately for the West Side, moved away, but they're still connected. And I think that it's really important for us to communicate to the people that live there now, you know, what it was like as a community back then. Now, I'm not saying that we should go backwards, but I'm saying that that gives us a starting point where we can, you know, identify the strengths of the West Side and figure out how we can, you know, get back to a place where, you know, people are more neighborly and, you know, all the positive things that used to occur there. Just such a wonderful environment there.
And I think you brought up a few great points there, and I think that's like the perfect segue, you know, thinking about your childhood, right? Because we know our childhood really provides that formative experience for so many things that we are able to sort of launch from, right? So as a kid growing up on the West Side, obviously you're exposed to so many different people, so many different experiences. But what was it like for you? I mean, when you think about some of those pivotal memories that are sort of soaked into your brain and sort of your psyche, what are some of those things that you recall?
Well, you know, I just recall it being like a community. You know, I recall you know, being able to walk down the street and everyone knowing who you were and, you know, who your family was. And you know, as a kid, if you were misbehaving, you quickly got called on the carpet. And not only that, the message got back home before you got back home. So I think it was truly a community that really took care of each other. You know, and I know it still exists there now. You know, those are just my memories of, you know, just a wonderful upbringing there.
Those are good memories, Jason. I mean, I think that, you know, I did not grow up here. I grew up, I don't even know if I've ever told you that story, but I grew up, but my family was born, I'm from Jamaica. I was born in Jamaica. My family immigrated here when I was two. So I grew up in the Bronx, and the neighborhood and the community that you speak of, I recall that too, in the city, on the block, right? That aspect of neighborliness, being able to have community and really see that community at work in how we treated one another. So I think I can totally understand where you're coming from. Excuse me. And I think that the work that's happening today with the West Side Legends and so many other groups, those who are named and those who are not named, because there are so many people behind the scenes as well, I think that it's reclaiming the best, right? The best things that made the community. And the goal really is for people who live there today, as well as those for tomorrow, to be able to experience that. So when they look back too, just like you right now, you have the privilege of looking back and saying, that's how it was for me. I think that's what we're seeing. And so I think it's very exciting, all the things that are happening on the West Side right now. And I'm curious with your grandmother, is she still like, is she able to sort of still be in the community, or is she sort of just kind of in relaxed mode right now?
She's definitely in relaxed mode. I'm not going to tell you how old she is, because
don't, because you know that, first of all, Jason, tell me how old your grandmother is.
I said that I was not going to tell you.
I know, and I would not ask, sir.
But she is definitely in relaxed mode. Good. You know, and doing the things that, you know, you do as an older person.
Yeah, absolutely.
She keeps me busy.
Is she aware, because she's seen a lot, right? So is she aware of everything that's happening around in the community? Is that something that she has noticed, or life for her maybe is on like a different, you know, different level?
Yeah, I think it's on a different level. Okay. You know, I think that when she was active, you know, she would be, you know, church was obviously one of the main stopping points. She was a member of Second Congregational Church. So back then there were, you know, a couple of churches. There's three churches that I can think of in the West Side. But, you know, they were the pillars. They were truly the pillars of the community. So if you were a member of the West Side, you definitely went to one of those churches.
Yeah. Yep.
But I know that that's changed a little bit now, but, you know, it was a good time.
Well, I love the idea of the, you know, as you mentioned, you know, that moving forward aspect, it's very important because we should always move forward. And I love the idea of weaving in that past, because it's always a nice mix of both, right? Because then you have this great, strong sort of point of reference, and then you keep moving forward. So I love that. Growing up, you started in public school, specifically what's now known as Conti, right? right? So, right, but it had a different name. It was the what it was.
It was West Side.
Oh, it was
You
West
know,
Side.
yeah.
Okay.
So growing up, I went to West Side Community School, and I went up until third grade, I think it was, and then my family had made the decision to transfer me out. I went to a school that's no longer in existence, as far as I know. It was Berkshire County Christian School. So there were several members from my community that attended that school, which was a great experience. Smaller class size, allowed us more of a community feeling, allowed us to really get the education, that helped us out. And then I transitioned from Berkshire County Christian School. I then started with the parochial schools. I went to Notre Dame, and then I graduated from St. Joseph High School.
Okay. Now, where was Notre Dame?
So Notre Dame was on Melville Street. It was
Wow.
down from the Boys Club. So it was down from the Boys Club, the Catholic Youth Center, and
Yeah.
there used to be a church there. It was Notre Dame Church, and that was right across the street from the school.
And up to what grade was that, like just like elementary?
No, that went to eighth grade.
That went to eighth
So
grade.
it started in sixth, ended in eighth, and then you made the transition from middle school to high school, and then I went to St. Joe from there.
Interesting. So from so you had sort of both perspectives then, sort of like life in like public school, life in that private parochial school setting. Was it a big leap for you or not really?
Absolutely. Initially it was, right? So in initially it was, because as a kid you want to stay in the schools with all
Yeah.
the kids in the neighborhood. I had, my parents and my grandparents had made the conscious decision to send me to a private school, which I'm very grateful for. They made some sacrifices financially to get me there. And initially it was a little bit of a transition. I still had to go back to the neighborhood with all my friends.
What was that like, Jason?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was good. I think that they kind of view you as a person that kind of left them. Luckily for me, I could still play some sports and play with them on the basketball court. So that kind of that kept me in the loop a little bit.
So you still maintain your street cred.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I think I did at least. They did.
Jason's like, in
Yeah.
my head, I think I
Yep.
still have the street
As I was
cred.
walking home with my book bag and my Catholic school attire, my light blue shirt and my blue pants. Anyone that went to Catholic school systems probably know exactly what I'm talking about.
As someone I went to, I have a mix of the parochial and public school mix myself. I started in Catholic school for first, second, part of third grade, and then for high school, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school in the Bronx and Yonkers. One end what up it was in the Bronx and Yonkers. So I definitely know how your experience and it's definitely a different world.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but I have to say this. I have to say that I was welcome with open arms.
Yes.
I can remember to this day one of my first, who's still one of my best friends now, had walked over to me. And back then, right now I'm about 6 feet tall, right? 6'1½ to be
Yeah.
exact. And back then I was maybe a little bit shorter, but not too much. But I remember one of my good friends, his name is John Benson, came over to me and had said, "Hey, do you play basketball?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "You're going to come over here with me and my friends." And
Oh.
the wonderful thing about that is the friends that I had established back then are still some of my best friends to this day. So I was instantly accepted into their community through sports.
Did you worry that you wouldn't have been accepted?
Well, I think it's the fear of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
So let's just be, so you have an African American, you have a black kid
Yeah.
going to a school that's predominantly white. So there's definitely some fears there. You just don't know how things are going to play out.
Right.
But I have to say, it was the best move of my, well, it was the best decision on my parents' part, and it was the best move of my life. Because I
Right.
think that I truly am the person I am today, just going through those experiences.
For sure. I mean, definitely I remember, Catholic school days, And at the time, I did not want to go to an all girls Catholic high school.
No, no.
I wanted to go to a regular high school. And you don't, I think, I'm not gonna assume how old you are, Jason. I think I do know, but I will say, as someone who I'm in my mid-40s, I will say that, for me, I was like that. Give me a regular high school. That's kind of what I want. But when I look back and when I can reflect on, like you mentioned, the sacrifice, right? The sacrifice of those who did what they had to do so I could have that experience. I get it. I get it. And that's the power of the rear view, right? The rear view window, mirror, so to speak, allows you to see that picture that when you're in it, it's just a sliver. You only see what's in front of you.
Absolutely.
You don't see all of it. So, when we think about that rear view, and when you think about that time, Jason, obviously, okay, you have this great school experience. You are welcomed in. You weren't ostracized. It totally was what you maybe didn't even expect, but it was what you needed.
Yes.
What were some of the other things that you garnered from that time in your life that stay with you to this day?
Well, I think the thing that I garner the most is just the friendships that were established, in that time of my life. And, like how I said, some of the people that I met back then are some of my best friends to this day. They're people that you don't have to necessarily talk to every day. You could call up once a year and you pick up right where you left off. So I'm really grateful for that. And I think that I contribute that to the size of the school. When you
How
graduate,
many? How
well,
many?
high school I graduated with 75, I think.
75.
Yeah, in my class.
Oh, wow.
Overall, I think there was 300 and something kids in the
All
school.
right, decent.
But the thing is, of that 75 that you graduate with, when you bump into them at the groceries on North Street, social events, you know that you have like that connection. So I'm really grateful for that.
And your school, I think another thing that kind of connects us with our parochial experiences, I St. Joe's is no longer, right?
No.
And I actually got a notice that my high school, St. Barnabas, after being in existence for 100 years, is closing. So this is their last year. And so when you think about, when I got that notification, it was almost like I never really thought too much about my school. I knew what I got from it. But then there was this pang of just like, wow, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks to know that it will no longer be open. When your school closed, I don't know. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, in terms of the emotion.
When it closed, the St. Joe community, I think, was devastated, just because there had been so much tradition there. Whether it be academically or through sports. Back then the city had three sports teams, like, right? So you had the Taconic Braves, you had the Pittsfield High Generals, and you had the St. Joe Crusaders, and we all would battle it out for the city championship. Whether it be playing hockey or football or baseball or basketball. So I think when we when St. Joe was removed from that equation, us old St. Joe athletes were kind of, our heart hurt. But I was talking to Julie Sullivan, who was the principal at the time. Sister Julie was the principal at the time, when I was there, and I had said, "Oh, it's just so sad that St. Joe is now closed." And she quickly responded, "Yes, but it's a shelter and it's still doing God's work." So I thought that that was a great response to that. And I didn't have anything to come back with. I think that, as a community, I just think the school played such a, such a role in who I am today. And I have to, I just want to say thank you to all the teachers and the administrators and, the people and the families that I was involved with back then. Because I truly feel that I was blessed, ending up there.
All right, for my listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Jason Kyler. He is the Assistant Deputy Superintendent of Community Engagement within the Berkshire County Sheriff's Office. And he's just given us a little background about his life growing up in Berkshire County. So, Jason, one of the things that you've often said is that, when you were little, you really didn't know what you wanted to be when you grew up. But the thing is that the profession that you actually went into is so human-centered, right? You started as a social worker. You started in that realm of work, right? That is such heart-centered work. I'm curious as to, even though you didn't know exactly what you wanted to be, something led you into that. Something led you to study sociology at UMass Amherst. Something led you down that path. What was that thing or things?
So I have to say, when I was at UMass Amherst, I'm a UMass alum, a very proud UMass alum. I say, when I went to college, I wanted to be a business major because it just seemed like the thing to do, right? You want to graduate from college, you want to make as much money as you possibly can. And somewhere in the process, I can actually remember the class. It was business law. I was sitting in a business law class in Amherst, and it dawned on me that this is not something that I necessarily want to do. And what had piqued my interest was my sociology class. As you go on, you start paying a lot more attention in sociology, which was an elective at that point in time for me. And I just became very intrigued and wanted to figure out ways to help my community in the best way that I possibly can. I've been very blessed. I graduated from UMass. I came back to Berkshire County, which I thought was going to be a short stint, just to help out with my grandparents and my family. And I thought, like every other college kid that returned home after you complete, like, oh, I'm just going to go home for a little bit, and then I'm going to go to Boston or New York City or something.
Thank you
And
for mentioning New York. Okay, go
yes,
ahead.
of course, I know. And I quickly. I enjoyed A, helping my family out, and then I quickly found a job at Hillcrest Educational Center. And there were some great people there at that time. Jerry Burke was at the helm, and really took an interest in me at that point in time. But I found it to be very beneficial to be helping kids that may have had didn't have the best case situation growing up. And it just when you sit with someone and the background that they come from, you want to find a way to help them in any way possible. So I spent some time at Hillcrest Educational and then transferred over to Department of Social Services. So one social service agency to another social service agency. When I was at Department of Social Services, I just being out in the community, working with families, trying to help families stay intact, trying to get the resources and the services, to the family as much as possible, is what I really enjoyed doing. And it was just something where, you went to work and there was never a dull moment. Every day was different. But you liked getting up in the morning and going to make a difference in someone's life. And then, with the sheriff's office, I kind of stumbled on that position. I was working for DCF. I was visiting a client over at the sheriff's office. I bumped into a few people. They said, would you like a career change? And then I talked about it a little bit with them. And I was excited to switch over from DCF, Department of, well, actually, it was DSS back then, Department of Social Services, to the sheriff's office. And here I am 24 years later. But through every transition period, I found myself in a similar situation, the situation of being, helping the community and providing services for those in need.
Jason, you are sharing so much, and we're going to get into all of it. To my listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCO hypnosis.com.
All right, everyone. We are back. We have Jason Kyler. He is Assistant Deputy Superintendent of Community Engagement. I have to pump myself up, make sure I get that title right within the
You
Berkshire
got
County
it
Sheriff's Office. And Jason, you were just sharing just the transitions, the positions that you held when you the positions that you held when you got out of school, and you definitely went on to this great career. Everything you say, it's impactful. But what I'm getting from this is that this is it's hard, it's significant work, but emotionally, let's talk a little bit about that, because you are right in the middle of seeing the struggle firsthand, and you're really on the front line. And I always give it up to people on the front line, because you are really that divider that is in the middle between that individual and the resources, the opportunities, all of that. How did you emotionally navigate this work at that time in your life?
Well, I think you look at it this way. It's challenging work. And every situation is not the best situation. But I will say that connecting people to resources and helping people out, I always say, I love when I go to the grocery store, or I'm walking down North Street, or I'm at, an event at one of the kids' schools, and someone walks up to you and they're like, hey, thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be thanks a lot at the Berkshire County Jail and House of Correction, but they just kind of come over, or sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just give you that wink or that nod, just to let you know that they're in a good place. And they're acknowledging the fact that we helped, because it's not, it's a team effort, that we helped them at the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, there are points where it can get a little tiresome. But for the most part, it's exciting work. It's exciting work to connect people to resources in the community. And I consider myself, like a broker, I called, right? So my mission in life is to go out and find the agencies and find the opportunities for people and connect the people of the community to those resources. So it's all about access, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there may be people in the community that don't necessarily have access. But what I always say to people is, if I have access, then you have access.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important for us, the people that have that, to share that with other people that may not necessarily have it at that time.
I wanted to just back up to that statement that you said, because I think it's so poignant. If I have access, you have access. What do you mean by that?
So, I've been blessed throughout my career, where I've been able to land and I've been able to work towards certain spots, whether it be at DCF, Hillcrest Educational, coming up through the sheriff's office, where you start in the case management role, where you have direct contact with clients, to being in the role that I'm in now, where I'm an assistant deputy superintendent. So as assistant deputy superintendent of, community engagement, I see it as my primary responsibility to be able to open those doors for people that may not have had them opened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that when you open those doors for people and you create an opportunity for them to walk through them, it's untapped talent. Like they feel that, they have an opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the only request that I have from people that I open doors for or try to open doors for is that they turn around and they open it for the next person. And I think that that's the way that we as a community have some success. And I never want to be that person that, gets to a certain point and doesn't reach back to pull up the person that's behind me.
Jason, I mean, if the listeners could see my face right now, I am beaming, because Jason, the mantra that you have shared, that's what I tell our scholars through rope. I say, look back, because I tell them, you guys are all going to be successful. You're going to be wonderful. You're going to have these great careers, but look back and help someone. That ethos, that's not something that everyone has, Jason. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to put it out there, because we are also in a time when people will say, I have mine, I'm good, I don't need to think about others. And that community-minded ethos, you don't always hear that. And to hear you say that is so, it's awe-inspiring. I'm curious as to some of the stories that you carry. Having worked, you know, within the sheriff's office for more than two decades, right? I'm gonna keep myself safe there and not get into specific numbers, but having gone there and worked there for more than two decades, you must have stories upon stories, things that you've seen. Do you have a particular story that you can share, just even from an anecdote wise, of something that you deem really powerful and that has stayed with you?
Well, I won't get into a specific story, but what I will tell you, you know, the most exciting thing for me in this field is that when you see the transformation of a person that was formerly incarcerated out in the community, working a job, connected like with their family, you know, connected to resources, those are all the stories that we, or that I, mm-hmm. that makes me feel. So I'm a former athlete, right? So I equate that to, winning the big game, right? So when you're out in the community and someone comes over to you and they say, "Hey Jay, thanks a lot, really appreciate it. This is my son or daughter. This is my significant other, and I just want you to know that I'm doing good," right? So when I say that right now, I get the goosebumps because it's a really good feeling. To see someone be successful, and not only to be successful, you know, a really good thing for me that I always try to do is look to the kids and say, "Hey, your mom or dad is a really great person." And as they walk away and they give you the wink or the smile, or they give you the soft, quiet thank you, mm-hmm. You know, that's what means the world to me.
Yeah.
You know, one of the stories, I'll give you a story, you know, it's a story of a young kid that used to come in and out of jail when he was younger, right? Used to come here to the Berkshire County Sheriff's Office. And I became very fond of him. You know, he had tons of potential, very bright, articulate, just never really had that chance, that opportunity. So I just remember over 10 years ago, he looked at me and he said, "This is the last time. This is the last time that I'm coming back." And that person now owns a business. Is doing really well. And not only that, periodically he'll call me, like you talk about reaching back and lifting up the next person. He'll call me and say, "Is there someone that needs something? Is there someone that needs employment? Is there someone that I can help?" You know, and just a little while ago, maybe about a year ago, he had called and he had said, "Hey Jay, you know, I'm spoiling my kids to death because I wasn't spoiled growing up. I have all these toys all over the house, toys that they don't use anymore. Is there somewhere that I can deliver them to?"
Wow.
So one of my other hats is I'm the now the president of the board of the Christian Center, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I had said is, "Yeah, you can bring them right down to the Christian Center."
Yeah.
And he was so happy to be able to do that. But those are the impactful stories. Those are the stories that, you know, make us want to do the things that we do. You know, and it's just one person at a time. And when they reach back and they pull mm-hmm. up the next person, you know that it's a job well done.
Mm.
So you know, I look for those little victories. You know?
Jason, I mean, you know what? Just thank you for all that you are doing. You know, because you're planting seeds, and it throughout your tenure, you sometimes get to see some of those seeds come to fruition, and you have those moments like the young man you described, who was able to overcome his challenges, find success, and then do exactly what you said, look back in a very tangible way. It's like if there was ever a success story.
Yeah, that's it, right?
That is it. And so, you know, that is so throughout your time there, obviously, you know, you have so many of those experiences. And then you move into the helm because obviously many different roles, but at some point, then a little thing called Second Street, Second Chances rose to the top. And this nonprofit organization helps formerly incarcerated individuals reacclimate themselves to the outside world, connecting them with resources, and a certain person named Jason Kyler was at the helm. You were the executive director of that. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, you know, I love that program. You know, It started out as a work group. There was a work group of people that wanted to get together from other social service agencies and find out how we could, you know, make a smoother transition from people that were returning to the community from incarceration. So the work group quickly developed into a, you know, a board of directors. You know, I'm skipping some parts, some stages here, but we were we were lucky enough to receive funding from the state of Massachusetts through the empowerment funding, and then the city of Pittsfield was awesome to us, giving us the money from the ARP, some money from the ARPA funds. When we initially had set out at Second Street, we had hoped to see 150 people. So we thought, like, okay, we're going to put out 150 people. That's how many people we want to see within a year. That number at the end of the year was 435 people.
Wow.
We're talking about unduplicated contacts.
Wow.
But just to back up how I got there, you know, I've always had one foot in, one foot out in the community and at the sheriff's office when I was working here. I love doing the work release part. I love doing the aftercare. I love being out in the community. In a lot of situations, the communities that I grew up in, right? So we talk about certain areas here in Berkshire County, Morningside, Westside community. And I saw that as an opportunity to help you know, some people that are formerly incarcerated really engage in services out in the community. So Second Street is a one-stop shop. It's providing wraparound services for formerly incarcerated men and women. It doesn't necessarily mean that you got out of jail. It could be you got out of jail yesterday or you got out of jail 20 years ago. Second Street will always lend a helping hand to their participants and with whatever they need. So, you know, I didn't do Second Street alone. You know, I was the executive director, but somehow I managed to organically surround myself by some of the brightest and intelligent people in Berkshire County. And I listened to what they say, like, right? So you listen to the leadership that's at the table. And you try to find a creative way to implement those services in the community. And one of the things that I feel like I had in that situation was I had experience behind the wall, but I also had, as you made reference to earlier, the little bit of the street cred. So it made it a little bit easier for me to connect the dots, meaning that, you know, I had people out in the community that, you know, I've worked with in the past that trust, that may have trust me. But then I also had people that I've been lucky enough to be in the circles, you know, the heads of organizations, some heads of business communities. So, you know, there's a I'm a person that has access or have been provided with access. And Second Street, I found, was the perfect opportunity to grant that access that I have established through my extensive career to the people that are coming behind me that need that.
It almost felt like kismet. In the way that it's like the like if there could have been like this perfect role that had been just created, like, who should we think for it? You know, you were the perfect fit. And you did during your tenure, I should say, you know, you did wonderful things to solidify Second Street, Second Chances with your leadership. And obviously you're not a one man operation. There are so many folks who are a part of the organization. And obviously we have Lindsay Cornwall now.
Yes.
I make sure I got her last name right.
Not Maynard, it's Cornwall, right?
That's right. and she has taken that baton and she is moving, you know, continuing to move the organization forward. So, you know, we are so thankful for her leadership with that organization to help it, because it is so needed in our community, because we know that when you do get out, it is hard. You know, it's very hard if you do not have one, a network, a support system to point you in the right direction. And life is different on the outside. You know, you made reference to behind the wall, and I guess that's kind of like inside baseball speak, but that's like when you are incarcerated, right?
Yeah. And if I could say, yes, it is. So, you know, and one of the things that I really, I'd like to back up just a minute, and I want to say, you know, I want to make sure that I thank the sheriff, Thomas Bowler, Mark Gold and Brad Little, because those are the three people that approached me on the subject of being the executive director of Second Street. But then I want to say that the participants here at the Berkshire County Jail and House of Correction are offered a gauntlet of services. So you can mental health, substance abuse, education, workforce development. You know, a lot of people come through the door and they haven't seen a medical provider within the last 10 years or so. And when you come through the doors here, you see a nurse right when you get here. And then you see, you know, a doctor within 3 days of being here. So we're really able to provide services for men and women behind the wall that they deserve, right? You know, it's all about helping them build that foundation, helping them, you know, whether it be, you know, they were under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or, you know, they were, their lives were a little bit unmanageable at that point. It's about getting them settled here and then transitioning back to the community. And where Second Street Second Chances comes in is there's always that gray area of people that are doing exceptionally well while behind the wall under our supervision, right? You know, they're going to programming, they're getting their HiSET or GED, they're doing all the right things. But there's that transition period when you're in a somewhat of a controlled environment where you don't have those other factors, you know, those life factors. I feel that Second Street Second Chance allowed us to stay connected with the clients through that transition period and getting them to the doors of the other wonderful agencies that we have here in Berkshire County. So I think that's, you know, I contribute that to the success. That's why Second Street was so successful. I think it was just something that was really missing out there in the community to connect our men and women that are formerly incarcerated to the community. So it was an exciting part of my life. I didn't sleep very often. And, you know, my family was, they were very supportive, you know, because there was a lot of late nights, a lot of late night meetings and, you know, nights that I would stay after work, just working with clients at that point in time. But, you know, I'm just, again, I'm just blessed. I'm lucky to be in the positions that I've been, you know, that I've worked towards and looking to continue, you know, looking to continue that, that forward progression. Along with helping people that are behind me. So when I left Second Street, you know, a lot of people said, what's it like leaving the baby? Like, what's it like leaving your baby that you've worked so hard for? You know, I tell people that knowing that I had someone, like-minded person, that their heart was in the community, their heart was about the clients that we serve on a daily basis, it made that transition a little bit easier. And one other thing that made it good was I got to stay connected. I had the privilege of staying on the board of directors. So I still have a little, like I'm in the know still. So I think that I'm blessed in that sense. But I'm very grateful that I was able to leave it to someone, Lindsay, who I think is going to do an exceptionally well job. And, you know, now I'm moving to this position, which I am extremely excited about, you know, being able to be out in the community, connecting the sheriff's office to other community agencies, other communities, you know, North Adams, I get down to South County, I'm going to get down to Great Barrington and everything between. It's a privilege to be granted this opportunity.
Jason, I'm curious and you know, again, thank you so much for nurturing the baby and allowing the baby to have its full sea legs so that now we can see the next iteration of Second Street Second Chances, which again is so needed. It was the thing that you didn't know you needed until it's here, right? Because it's almost like, wow, we didn't have this,
right?
But it offers community members who need this with valuable resources. So again, thank you. What's a day in the life of Jason now that you are the Assistant Deputy Superintendent of Community Engagement? Is a day in the life for you? What does that look like? Because when I think community engagement, that's a whole lot of networking. That's a whole lot of talking. You are moving, you are shaking, you're doing all those things. So what is it like for you?
It's fun, right? So it's a great experience. It's, you know, you spend a lot of time on the phone, you spend a lot of time responding to and, you know, creating emails, but you also spend a lot of time in the community connecting to resources that are out there. So, you know, one of the things I told people throughout my 24 years, so it's really important that you say how much time when you're a state employee, because, you know, you get to that spot and where you do the amount of time and you have the age and you can successfully ride off into the sunset if you choose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to be me. I think I'm going to be in it a little bit longer than that,
okay.
Just because I enjoy it so much. But a day in the life is just really connecting to resources. You know, explaining what we do here at the sheriff's office. One of the things that we found out through the previous election, right, is that a lot of the community members didn't really know a lot of the things that are offered here. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we weren't doing them. It's just because we did them and we just didn't really talk about it a lot. You know, mm-hmm. So we have a sheriff now, Sheriff Bowler, that's a doer. You know, he's not a person that's going to do something and is just going to get up on the mountaintop and scream, I did this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of explaining to do about the services and stuff that's offered here.
Right.
And mostly I found myself that, you know, one of those people that are out in the community saying, no, we do that. We do this. You know, we get medical services, substance abuse, mental health, the whole thing. So I see this as an extension of that, what I used to do for Second Street on a much larger level. We've been doing a lot of triad meetings. We've been doing a lot of, I don't know if you're a Facebook member, but if you are, I think you are, but I know you are. But, so the sheriff's office has a Facebook page.
Yes.
And we're also on LinkedIn. But if you pay attention to that, you're going to see a lot more posts of, our wonderful staff out in the community, connecting mm-hmm. with community members, connecting with children. You know, just trying to extend our reach in a positive way. So, you know, we're not in charge of locking people up in the community. We are there to provide assistance. We are there to help people remain in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, I always tell people that, you know, the sheriff's office is a huge treatment program, right? So we want to provide as many services as possible for men and women and kids. That are out in the community in any way that we can possibly do that. So we're going to increase our visibility.
Yeah.
You know, we are going to let people know that you don't have to do something wrong in order to become connected to us.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be there and we want to acknowledge the people that are doing something right. And we want to be able to help them in any way as possible as well.
I mean, I think that goes the distance. I mean, first of all, you know, when we think about the narratives, I think you hit the nail on the head. When you think sheriff's office, right?
Mm-hmm.
The average person, the person on the street is going to think, they're going to equate it to, I'm doing something wrong, and that's going to invoke the involvement of the law, right?
Yep.
So I think how the work that's being that's happening right now to counter the narrative and counter that and say, wait, yeah, there's a piece of that that's there too,
yep.
But broadly speaking, this is who we are in the community. I think that's so necessary. And I think, especially as we think about those community relationships, right? And the earlier we can get to, you know, community members, that's so important because you're building those relationships. You know, I know you guys are also probably super, like Darren Derby, I talk about him all the time because he's great with Copsicle. And I think about, you know, he's one person within, you know, many people within the Pittsfield Police Department that's doing great work. But when we think about that community relationship angle, I think about sometimes him driving around with Winston and Copsicle and, you know, and the joy and the fun and all of that. And so for the sheriff's office too, you know, I could see Jason Kyler, you know, in his own version of, well, I won't say it's a Copsicle, but whatever that looks like, and how you build relationships and how your team there continues to build relationships and continues to offer that friendly, welcoming, inviting, you know, opportunity.
Yeah.
For the kids and their parents and the caregivers and whoever else is in the community to come on in and to see the sheriff's office in that light, you know, it really goes the distance because especially when they're kids, because that's when their memories are formed.
Yeah. And you know, and one of the things that I, you know, like that I really focus on is just that, You know, a lot of kids that come from certain areas are really, they tend to be afraid of law enforcement, right? And I think the Darren Derbys of the world, you know, the people that are out in the community through community engagement that aren't necessarily out there because something occurred wrong, but you're out there just to kind of build that relationship with the community so that they can come to you before, you know, a situation presents itself. But I see this as an opportunity, especially for me, a young kid that grew up on the west side of Pittsfield, to go back to my community, to show, you know, the kids in that community, that, you know, if you want, you can have a career in law enforcement. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the bad guy. You know, you can be a law enforcement member and be fun and loving and you know, and caring. You know, those are all the good things, you know, that I think, you know, are important. Now, you know, a lot of people also consider law enforcement as a person that just goes out and locks people up, right? I consider law enforcement more social workers, you know, people that are really out there trying to keep the peace in the community and trying to assist the community members in any way possible. And you know, the sheriff, you know, a lot of people don't know this about him. First of all, he's a wonderful guy. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boss. I'm saying that because he's very community focused. And I know that his heart, you know, is goes with the community. And one of the things that I quickly found out is that, you know, growing up as a kid on the west side of Pittsfield, he was a police officer on the west side of Pittsfield. And this is when it was community policing, right? So like you're outside of your vehicle, you're walking around, you're shooting some hoops at the park with kids, you're doing all that wonderful stuff. And I always, you know, when I hear him talk about the conversations of sitting down with some names that I'm very familiar with, the pillars of the community, the people that, you know, the old timers that kept everything straight. You know, you kind of get goosebumps when he, you know, when he talks about going down to Reverend Durant's house, sitting at his kitchen table and really talking about how he can help the community in any way possible. But I think that, you know, the reason I'm saying that is I just think, you know, sometimes law enforcement gets a very bad, people view us as bad. But I think that, you know, the Berkshire County Sheriff's Office, we're different, right? So we want to get out there. We want to help people in any way that we possibly can. Doesn't matter if you're in trouble or you're not in trouble. You know, we're in the business of helping people. And if you're not in that, if that's not your mindset, then, you know, the sheriff clearly makes, then you don't have a spot here. You know, you have to be community focused. You have to be social worker related. You know, it's, that's all the important stuff. Now, with that being said, though, if, you know, if there is a situation that
Jason is like, well, let me listen. It's not all.
it's not all that. You know, let's just be honest. Let's be transparent. You know, there are certain situations where you know, you need to put your other hat on. But it's 100%. Nice. But it's important for us to have a balance, right? It's important to keep the community safe, but it's also important to engage the community in positive ways.
Right. That whole idea of protecting and serving, right? The two go hand in hand, and that service, you know, I think it's the more you continue to do the work that you're doing, it's needed. And I think that's it. It's needed. And you and the team there are very clear on the mission of what you do, and that's important. And anyone who joins has to have that same mission and have to have that same heart, because that's it's important work, and it's also formative work, right? Because you're helping to shape narratives, and you're helping to build relationships for the future, and that just starts with authenticity and pure intentions. So thank you for your work, and thank you for your service. I do want to, I know our time is winding down, Jason, but I have to ask a couple of things. When you are not immersed in, you know, helping our community one member at a time, what do you do to have fun? Aside of the fun work you're having every day.
Well, the work that I do every day is fun.
You're going to give me something else, Jason.
I'm going to give you something. I obviously, I try to spend as much time with my family as possible. You know, and you know, I know that this is going to sound like work, but one of the things that I really enjoy doing is being on other boards. I know it sounds like work, but it's not. It's fun, right? Because you can make an impact, right? You can make some changes. So I have to say, you know, I sit on the board for Hillcrest Educational, Berkshire Community College Board of Trustees, Christian Center we talked about earlier, Milltown Advisory Board, and just newly the Mayor's Advisory for Mental Health and Substance Abuse. So I stay very busy in that sense. But it's not work, right? So it's things that you do because you want to do them and you want to find a way that you can give back to the community. So I would say between work, my board participation, and my family, right now at this point in my life, that's what I got, right? So we take some vacations and stuff like that too.
Okay. I mean, do you ever hike? Do you ever take a walk, go on a hike or something, a walk?
Well, I walk around the neighborhood and, you know, I try to work out in the morning on a daily basis. So that's how I, those are the things that I enjoy. Well, right now, the stage of my life, those are the things that I enjoy. Later on when it's time to slow down a little bit, maybe I'll be taking some long hikes and some bike rides and, you know, paddling a canoe.
All right. But
right now I'm in the thick of it.
Jason, I'm not going to knock you. Listen, you know what? We all have those things that, that keep us going. And so I totally respect that. And I totally respect the fact that you said, I enjoy my work. And for me, it fills you. And you guess what? If that fills you and that is what you find enjoyable, then you know what? I say continue on, because we need more of that, those contributions and those pure contributions to our community to keep it strong. You know, I always ask my guests as we wind down from these great conversations, what would be the one word that you would use to describe yourself?
Huh. One word to describe myself, huh?
Yeah.
Can I make it two words? Can I say?
I'll make the exception for you.
Can I say? And this is the truth. Community focused. Okay. I would use that to describe myself. On the other side, I would like to describe myself as another two words. It's I would like to be. Actually, it's going to be more, but the most important thing for me is be the best, father that I can be to my girls. And, I'm going to leave it at that. So community focused and, I want to be the best person that I can be for my family.
Jason,
I know I cheated. I'm sorry.
It's what I told you at the start. I said, listen, you steer this ship and it's about what you have to share. So
yeah.
I'm not even going to get on you. I thank you for sharing that. I thank you for your story, your reflections. I thank you for just doing the work that you are doing in our community. And lastly, I do thank you for planting those seeds in the next generation so that they too will continue to look back and help those who are coming up. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Can I plant one more seed? Just one more.
Plant one more seed, Jason.
I just want to put this out to all the youth in the community, the younger people, that's the next generation. I just want to encourage you guys to get involved and, you know, find something that you love, something that you can be passionate about, and just make sure that you always get involved and give it back to the community that you were raised in. And that's especially a message that goes out to my old neighborhood, the West Side, who I love dearly. But I just want to encourage, there is something for each person over there, and it's just really important for you to get involved and, make a difference.
Well said. Thank you. For my listeners tuning in, we had a great conversation with Jason Kyler, the Assistant Deputy Superintendent of Community Engagement within the Berkshire County Sheriff's Office. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.